208 Skin. Skin Studio, where healthy skin is always in.
KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local, present the On Air Chat. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Zeller and Aaron Harter.
Good morning. Welcome to the On Air Chat. We're brought to you by CB Financial. Craig Barnwell feels the income is the outcome that matters. Call 620-208-6777 for a free consultation. And Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. Good morning, Steve Souter.
Morning. I don't know about good. This is not a good day to be on a walker.
That's probably true. So, a little wet out there.
Yep, that it is. But at this point, I don't think we need the rain, so it can stop any time. Guess it's going to be a nice Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, it should be gorgeous this weekend.
You know, before we get started, I do think we ought to offer our condolences to all those families in Texas. This is really getting out of control, and my heart goes out to them, and I'm sure everybody here would say the same thing.
Yeah, call your senators, tell them to pass background checks.
Yeah, at least. So with that said, we've got a good program today. We've got, I don't know, these guys, it's summer. I don't know, you think they're working now?
Yeah, they're working. This is their hard part.
They had time available.
They're not working on Friday. So. I know two of them aren't working on Friday.
All right. We're joined by three coaches from Emporia State University, and our topic is going to be the NCAA and transfer portal and name, image, and likeness, and maybe get to some of their new faces if we get the opportunity. And start with introducing everybody. First of all, Garen Higgins, starting his 15th year as the head football coach.
Be 16th, actually, now that I'm sitting here.
Do you have something on Kent? Did you have something on Kent? Does it concern you that he's going to be gone? You think there'll be a 17th?
I hope so. You know.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
You've had a lot of success, and we'll get back to you. And so which one of you guys was named first? We've got Toby Wynn and Craig Doty.
Yeah, a couple of weeks before Craig.
Okay, Toby Wynn is the head women's basketball coach and getting ready to start his fifth year. Surprised me. I said, are you three or four? So,
yeah, five. It's gone super fast. It really has. It's hard to believe.
So we'll get back to you. And then last but not least, Craig Doty is charge of the Hornet men's basketball team.
Hey, careful now with that lease comment. You know, I drove you to Topeka here last week. We had a good conversation. You know, I want to give you another ride sometime.
Yeah, that gave me the idea to do this show. You know, we would have them introduced, talk about their families, but Doty has expanded his to the point that would take most of the show.
Take our first break.
I just appreciate we can all sit in here. Usually, especially over the past, you know, 2.5+ years, it's been over the phone. So to be able to get everybody in studio and looking at each other face-to-face and getting to see the beautiful ponytail that Aaron Harter possesses, I just think it takes everything and elevates it to the next level.
That was fun the other day when we were at Brooks's graduation party and Aaron's mother, Doreen, was there. And Craig questioned her about the origin of your ponytail and what her thoughts were. And it was interesting to hear her ideas as to why and when and all that.
Well, and Craig is always too kind about it, but he was smart in saying that his boy Trey Buchanan does have way better hair.
Hey, Trey does, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't know if that was your mom or your sister. Okay, that's how young she looks. She's doing really well. So
she just turned 80. She'll really appreciate that.
Hopefully she's listening.
Yeah, we say Hair Crafters, which sponsors our three-point baskets and has for over a decade now. He missed an opportunity for name, image, and likeness with Trey Buchanan. He could have gotten him to endorse him as his barber.
There will be plenty of those opportunities for all the Emporia business. Hey, listen, if you're the star basketball player, the star quarterback, linebacker, there's plenty of opportunities. If one of those people on campus and around this community are promoting your business, it is going to enhance your business. So, no, there's plenty of NIL opportunities, and I'm sure we'll talk about plenty of that.
We'll get to that. Garen, you're up. And the topic is kind of just name association, NCAA, friend, foe, good, bad, ugly. Would we be in trouble if we didn't have it?
Yes, I believe we would. We would be. I mean, we need the NCAA at our level. I believe that. We need to try to stay attached to them as long as we can. You know, with the NCAA, I mean, the one thing you get or you have, and there's some gray area in there, but there's structure. It's a governing body. I mean, you see what's going on right now in Division One, where it's with the name, likeness, and image, it's like the Wild Wild West. That's what it's getting to. And I think that for us to continue to move forward, we have to have the NCAA. You know, I mean, if you don't have that, if we don't stay attached to it, then, you know, what's governing our level? And it's going to turn into basically the same thing, you know, where the powerful schools continue to get more powerful, you know, because there's no regulation, there's no rules set in place. I mean, at least the NCAA gives us an opportunity to try to be, and it's not, but to try to be on an even playing field. So.
Okay, good answer. Toby?
Yeah, I mean, just piggyback off what Garen said. I mean, I agree. I think it's something that's necessary. It's needed. I do think that, like, that's a transitional time right now, probably coming up within the next 4 to 5 years with the Power Five conferences and Division One being able to kind of go and maybe do their own type of thing. And so it maybe puts the NCAA in a position where they have to maybe come up with some new ideas on structure, and I'm sure regionalization is something that's in those lines. I'm a NCAA conference captain for women's basketball, and so I'm on a few call once a month where, you know, that's something that's discussed heavily. And I know there'll be some opportunity maybe hopefully down the road to have some sort of type of change to maybe enable Division II to expand a little bit in that area, I hope. I think it all in all, at the end of the day, you do need a governing body structure, especially at our level. Yeah,
I've always defended the NCAA a little bit because of the funding that trickles down to Division II. Does it concern you that if, as you said, the Power Five conferences and so forth go do their own, March Madness becomes not an NCAA product? That maybe that hurts funding at Emporia State?
There's no doubt. I mean, there's a whole different business model that's going to have to take place at that point amongst all the different universities, just because you're not going to get the TV revenue from the NCAA men's basketball tournament. I mean, that's something that funnels down to everybody. And without that, I don't know what some – you know, I know there's some institutions that rely on that. And even at the lower-level Division One, you know, I mean – they get money from that for, I think, is it 6 straight years, Craig, that they get money for that? Like, that they get paid out on that from that being in the tournament when teams make it, I think is what it is. For 6 years in a row, those schools get that. And, you know, I know that we don't. I mean, obviously get it at the level that they do, but we do get a portion of it. And there'll definitely be some effect on it for sure.
Craig, I have a feeling you've got a little different slant for this.
I do. Of course I have a different slant for this. You know, the NCAA has two jobs effectively for us, two major jobs. And number one is for compliance, make sure rules are followed, you know, to have rules and make sure rules are enforced. And number two is to run championships. I think at the Division II level, they do a solid job of enforcement. It's really self-governed, though. I mean, there's a lot of reliance on institution-to-institution basis. So what is our exact need for them? A lot of self-reporting. There's not a lot of investigations at this level. I do not think they run championships very well. We can selfishly talk about how we went 20-9 this year and beat the national champions twice and didn't make the national tournament, but yet a team that was 7-9 in their league, Texas A&M Kingsville, makes their tournament. The 188th ranked team made the national tournament on Massey ratings. We're 21st and we didn't make it. There isn't a lot of vision on running championships, just keeping things regional. And there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it right. The NAI has restructured everything. They used to have two at NAI Division I, NAI Division II in basketball, one tournament in Branson, Missouri, the other tournament in Kansas City. They've brought it all together. They only have a Sweet 16 instead of 32 now. In fact, two teams from the same conference played for the national championship in men's basketball. They were the best two teams. They worked their way on opposite sides of the bracket. They worked their way all the way through. Well, that's not happening here. Yeah, heck, you'll play that game in the first round. I mean, I think people enjoyed watching. I mean, did people enjoy watching Duke play and against North Carolina? Was that a fun game to watch? Well, if they played in Division II, that would have taken place at a regional site in the first or the second round. So, again, there just has to be more vision and more dedication and just getting away from the status quo. There's so many bureaucrats and people just sticking around, not wanting to really focus on this issue. And I've been a proponent for changing championships. Well, now this year, because I guess the past few years we're trying to build a program up, but it's in the best interest of the MIAA in general, as we have the most funded, well sought after athletic programs. And if anybody is for the current model really of regionalization, if they're a part of the MIAA, well, then they shouldn't be speaking on our behalf at all, because it's such a disservice to our conference. A conference that's the best in the country, not because we say it is, but because it's the most resourced, but because we have the best student athletes as a result of that, and the best coaches as well.
Toby, the committee that you serve on, is that D2 basketball, or is that all NCAA basketball?
No, it's D2 conferences. I mean, you have a conference captain from all the conferences across the country. I think there's 23 or 24 Division II conferences. So
what's a committee like that's feelings on regionalization of national tournaments? Because you're right. I mean, yeah. you pick eight people from eight different conferences, and we all know this. It happens in high school basketball all the time. You got a team with a losing record that makes a state yeah. championship just because they're located somewhere, and it's really not fair. Especially when you get a year when maybe the best two teams by far are from the same conference.
I mean, it's primarily coaches, or it's all coaches that are on there. Plus, you have a couple administrators that lead the call. But the general consensus is everybody's tired of regionalization. You know, everybody wants a true national tournament. I mean, that's something that, you know, that needs to happen. I was actually, when I was in the NJCAA, I was president of the Coaches Association, and I was part of the group that got the national JUCO tournament expanded to where we have at-large teams. You know, at that point, I mean, before that, it was total regionalization, and you had a lot of really good teams that never made it. So to say that you know, you have to keep it geographical because of budgetary concerns or things like that, no, you don't. I mean, there's ways to work around it and to structure it. If you look at the Division I women's tournament, I mean, they play those first round games at sites where they're guaranteed to have like a large crowd, and they just alter the seeds of those teams and what, you know, whether they're in the east, the west, the south, or the north. You could do the same in Division II very easily and not have people spend a lot on travel, you know. So I think there's a model to it. We just haven't had anybody really step up to the plate and be like, oh, we need to really change it. And now's a good opportunity. I mean, now's as good a time as any to try to do it.
Well, I mean, the travel's not – the current model doesn't even save on travel all the time. I mean, Central Oklahoma went to Sioux Falls, South Dakota to play. Augustana got a host. They played in the regional up there. Spearfish, South Dakota, where Black Hills State is, went down to Texas to play because their region in the RMAC goes down. So, I mean, you can't tell me that that is closer for either team. In fact, it costs more money because of that. So there could be a lot more looking at this. And if there are members and people that want to associate, there's just so darn many committees. Everybody, there's a committee for everything in the NCAA. Let's have committee meetings and create more bureaucracy and more red tape and then finally channel it up to the ADs and the President's Council. There's just layers and layers and layers. And it's just – it becomes frustrating, that's for sure.
Is there someone that holds a Mark Emmert-type role for Division II?
It's a great question. So there's a director of championships, and I've been battling this, and I've been pretty vocal on social media about it too, and I've gotten some bite back on it. And I've been talking to the director of championships for Division II. The approach is going to change. It no longer can be blow-up regionalization, because they are hell-bent on that name. They are hell-bent on it, and that's the model, and they don't want to change it. And Division II netted $13 million. $1 million while Division One and Division Three allegedly lost. So we have a bankroll right now based on our championships. So they don't want to change it from a financial standpoint. However, you know, if you're seeing major donors, I mean, Chad Ryerson from Paycom just donated $25 million to UCO. You know, Paycom Arena is where the Oklahoma City Thunder play. If he knew that NCAA Division II cared as little as they do about getting championships right, I mean, what do you think the stakeholders at these universities think if they would truly know what's going on? Well, we're going to bring that to the forefront. But I think the best model and the best way to get things done is to not blow up regionalization. It is to talk about how we can improve it. Football went to only four regions instead of eight. That's a lot better model than going with eight regions because you're going to get more of the best teams in if you go to four. So I think you have to think of it like Major League Baseball in a sense. If you look at the NL West, you have the Dodgers, you have the Padres, you have the Diamondbacks. I mean, you have the best teams in baseball. Well, because they're all in that region, if you will.
You didn't even name the Giants.
Well, I didn't even name the Giants. Yeah. I mean, it's stacked. It's loaded. And not every team's going to get in there at a disadvantage because they're in that. But at the same time, there's still a wild card, so another one can get in. In fact, there's two of them. So there's chances still. So I think there has to be some type of region model for it, and we have to keep saying that name, but we just have to enhance regionalization. I think that's going to be the approach as we're working with the director of championships. I've been talking with Commissioner Mike Racy a lot on this, and it ain't going to change anything from this past year, but we expect to be darn good moving forward for a long time, and I expect and it's not an issue just for us. When I made postings, I had Rich Wright, the football coach at Northwest Mo, jump on board and support it. We had Washburn's volleyball coach jump on. So we're having top programs around the MIAA and a multitude of different sports jump in and wholeheartedly say, you know what, it's not right. We're tired of it. We demand change. And now we're going to try to do it at least in baby steps.
Well, Aaron
weigh in here.
Yeah, I think I agree with, you know, some of what Coach Doty's saying. Of course, I think I go back to and football's tried to improve it a little bit with going to four regions and like Kearney, Nebraska this year. Usually in the MIAA, you know, like I go back to 2015, I thought we were one of the best teams in the country. And, you know, unfortunately we had to, you know, meet Northwest Missouri, who's in our conference because of the regionalization. And I complained about it then. You know, I remember when we went on the road for two games in 2015 also, where we had lost one regular season game, we were seeded seventh. You know, so like I agree with all of that. My question is, and we do have to have some type of structure where there is regionalization because we can't blow it up. But you know, I look at the FCS model, and you know, I don't know if that would work for Division II in football. You know, I don't know. But like, to
what
me,
model,
the,
what model is that?
Division one double A. All right, that's old school guys, 1AA, you know. But looking at it, the FCS model, like I know the Missouri Valley in football is, to me, the same as the MIAA in football, to where I believe it's the toughest conference, you know, in that division. And Missouri Valley, to me, is the toughest football conference in that division. And they may have five teams. They've had teams go to the playoffs that were 6-5, you know, and – I know in our league, when you lose, you know, we only play, you know, 11 regular season games. You lose two games, your players start knowing that, hey, I hope we get a bowl game because it may be very tough for us to go to the playoffs. And that is nice for us to have bowl games. Like for basketball, you know, there's no NIT, you know, for, I mean, you know, for teams to continue to play that deserve to be in the playoffs. So it is a problem, and I would like to see some type of change with how the current model is. I just don't know how they're going to go about doing it. And to me, that's one of the reasons why we got to stay attached to the NCAA so we can figure it out, because it is about money and it is about travel. Now, traveling with, you know, 85 and you're 85 to 90 in a football party to fly across, you know, where two or three states to go play a playoff game, that's probably going to cost a lot more money than it is to fly a basketball team, you know. So, again, I don't know how all that would work, but I do believe in the in trying to make things better. You know, we hadn't been to the playoffs in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. So, but I remember when we were there, it was, you know, I complained about it, you know, and having to go on the road and having to play Northwest Missouri and not having an opportunity to truly.
Well, in the MIAA being arguably the best conference, both football and basketball, women's basketball, you're all for regionalization, but how are you ever going to get the change made? Because most of the conferences aren't in that dominant, and they want their teams in.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's going to be a tough.
No, that's exactly right.
It's a it's a socialist model for competitive college athletics, and it's not a, you know, we want to have. They talk opportunity. Well, we want to create access to athletes. Okay, well, you want access, and Jared Vitsum from Fort Hayes should have been playing a national tournament. Trey Buchanan should have been playing. That's access, not giving the 181st ranked team out there who doesn't finance and doesn't care about it. That's not access. Access is the best. This is athletics. Okay, this is competitive. This is a meritocracy.
Well, you guys, I mean, there's still going to be teams that maybe don't make it that should, but you'd rather be complaining against a team that has a similar record than you, not just because they're from Florida or just because they're from Southern California.
Or they need to get somebody from this conference.
Or they need to get somebody from this area into the tournament.
There's two issues with the current regionalization model. One is the right teams aren't getting in. It's not even close. If we're not getting top 25 teams in our national tournament when they're bringing 64, that's an embarrassment.
Sure.
Okay. So the right teams aren't getting in. The second part is the right teams aren't playing it against each other at the same. You know, Higgins talked about playing Northwest right away. Well, you just got done playing them. Didn't you beat them as well? I mean, you just had got done playing them and being competitive. You got to turn around and play them again in the first round. Like, that's not a national tournament, and that's not how it should be structured. There's too much being put into this by the student athletes, by the institutions, by the supporters, by the coaches, by everybody to just say, you know what, just go up the road and play in Maryville again. Come on, man. It's bigger than that.
Okay, let's give Toby the final word, and then we're going to go to break.
I don't know if I have a final word, but, I mean, for us, like, I mean, you take just the central region with the NSIC and the GAC, and there's 45 schools in our region. I don't know that all the regions have 45 schools. I don't know the number on that. But I would say, only 8 in basketball out of 45 have a chance to make it. Only 8. And out of those 45, if you look at the Massey ratings, there's probably 90% of them in the top 45 most years. So it's definitely complicated for sure. It's tough. It's a tough deal.
Great discussion. And I think you guys illustrated it pretty well. I wish we could think it was going to change, but you keep working. I don't know. Doty keeps using social media and everything. So let's get a break in. Bruce Davis Construction is our sponsor. This is, and also CB Financial, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, because this is Wednesday. We're in here talking sports on Wednesday, which mm-hmm. is a little unusual. So anyway, we appreciate our sponsors. This is KVOE. We are live and we are local.
Hi, Craig Barnwell with CB Financial. I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. I can help you get the most sustainable income out of your Social Security, your 401ks, your IRAs, and your brokerage account. When you know what's coming in this month, next month, and every month, you'll be able to enjoy retirement to the fullest. Give me a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. Retire happy, retire with CB Financial. You can reach us at 620-208-6777.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction is proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Congratulations to all area high school graduates.
Congratulations to all of our seniors.
KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Best of luck in the future. Live and local.
KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. And time now for headlines. Being brought to you this hour by Mark II Lumber, where you'll find a complete line of building materials, hardware, tools, paint, and much more. That's Mark II Lumber, 825 East 6, where you'll find more than just lumber. the 24-hour Key VOE newsroom and a look at all the latest local headlines. Here is Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Sean. Good morning, everybody. Emporia Lyon County EMS and Emporia Police responding to a crash with reported injuries earlier here this morning. Awaiting final details. We'll have those for you here later today on KVUE and KVUE.com. Lyon County deputies, meanwhile, are looking for a person who allegedly started a chase in northwest Lyon County from Monday night. This originally started in the 300 block of Road 200 and ended near Bushong on the Flint Hills Nature Trail. Deputies are not releasing the suspect's name or description at this time. Residents with information are asked to call Lyon County Emergency Communications at 620-343-4225. And it's a big day at the Lyon County Fairgrounds because Keep It a Safe Summer is back to its original format from 5:30 to 7. Scott Hayes broadcasting from 5 to 6:30. KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team. Cloud cover with chances of showers here really for the rest of the afternoon. We'll have a high today right around 60 degrees. Showers likely this evening with a low of 52. And tomorrow, look for scattered showers in the morning, maybe up towards lunchtime and a high of 63. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, I'm Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Chuck. Currently, we do have a light northwest breeze, some light rain, 59 degrees at KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, all the weather information you need, live and local. Headlines are brought to you this hour by Mark II Lumber, where you'll find a complete line of building materials, hardware, tools, paint, and much more. That's Mark II Lumber, 825 East 6, where you'll find more than just lumber.
All right, welcome back to the on-air chat. We have coaches today, Garen Higgins, Craig Doty, Toby Wynn, all head coaches at Emporia State, and we've been talking about the NCAA, and we kind of got to, not off on, but on the topic of who makes the playoffs and what's fair, and the system that's being done now is more for geography than, anyway, and you know what, we could just finish the show talking about this, but we got a couple other topics. Maybe we'll bring you guys back next week and we'll go to the other topics. But I want to switch gears. I want to talk about the transfer portal, which I know we're going to get, well, I think all the coaches like it. Coach Doty and Coach Wynn have used it quite a bit. Garen, not so much, which he sees as a good thing from the standpoint of not losing kids. But I'm going to let Doty go first. And the transfer portal, of course, it used to be if a kid wanted to transfer, he had to sit out a whole year. And I don't know whether it was COVID. I don't know what the emphasis was to change it to where now they can transfer yesterday and play tomorrow. I mean, who was it? Well, that was high school. That was a kid from Topeka West that played Emporia on one team and 3 weeks later played him on a different team. So I don't know if you can do that in the NCAA, but it's pretty wide open.
Ryan Hawkins left Northwest Missouri the previous year, and because there's now a free transfer up to Division One, and what Steve Sauter was talking about was, like, in the past, if you went Division Two to Division One, you had to sit a year, and NCAA went to this freedom of movement model, and you're eligible immediately, which has now turned Division Two into a kind of a farm system. Division Ones are poaching Division Two players. They know that if you're really, really good in the MIAA, well, you could probably play at Wichita State. You could probably play at many of the mid-Division Ones. You know, Cam Martin left Missouri Southern, and he's at Kansas. He redshirted this past year. And, again, Hawkins leaves Northwest Missouri, and he's all Big East at Creighton. That's how good the players are in our league. So, you know, for us, we're not going to complain. You know, I mean, we'll talk about changing regionalization and getting that better for the best kids. But when it comes to the portal, we're not going to complain. We're just going to do it better than anybody else. So we brought in Trey Buchanan on the portal last year. He led the nation in scoring at 25.6 points per game. We've signed two guys already. Well, in the year before that, we talk about Austin Downing, who left Quincy University and was our starting point guard here for 1 year. We're seeing, you know, the freedom of movement, the change in college athletics, and we're embracing it within our men's basketball program. You know, so we've signed two guys. Owen Long is coming in from Youngstown State. He averaged 19.3 points per game at Maryville the previous year before that, Division II in the GLVC. So he's already averaging nearly 20 a game in Division II. We think that carries over to us at an elite level. He's going to plug and play right away. We just signed Elijah Comet there, who averaged 20.6 points per game at Colorado Springs, Division II in the RMAC. So we're going to use the portal, and we're going to be better with the portal than anybody else in the country. That's what our thought process is anyway. You know, we're going to embrace it. We're going to utilize it. And that also means that, you know, those who aren't performing and they get to upperclassmen, we're going to help present opportunities for them to leave and go somewhere else too. You know, if you're all about in men's college basketball, and every sport's a little different, but in men's college basketball, if you're trying to just retain all the time and the student athlete isn't developing and you're missing out on immediate impact guys, then you're probably not doing it right in 2022. So for us, Steve and Aaron, it's about balance. So, you know, you can't do it with everybody on your roster. You know, we have Gage McGuire coming back in his fourth year, Mayum Boom fourth year in the program, Mason Thiessen fourth year, Tyreek Robinson fourth year. So we have this base of guys. You saw we kept Duncan Fort here and we engaged. Those guys are more valuable as ever because your best players are going to be shuffling around all the time with this portal. But the most valuable guys today are going to be your continuity guys, your culture guys, your toughness guys, the guys that belong at Division II. They're not good enough to go bigger. They're at the school they belong because those are the guys that are going to make sure when the new plug-and-play transfers come in that what you have established continues to go along with it in terms of expectations, toughness, work ethic, and day-to-day operations.
Toby?
Yeah, I mean, we've used the portal a little bit too. I think the players that we've been selected with on the women's side, it's a little bit different. It seems like on the women's side, everybody knows where they're going to go before they even get in the portal, to be quite honest. So it's like they might be in the transfer portal, but they already know, whether it's through their high school coach, AAU coach, or whoever, that you know that they know. So I mean, we've tried to contact numerous players in the portal and have gotten no response at all. And then some players we have gotten responses to from are players that still continue to get over-recruited. I reached out to a girl who was a 6'3" post player, Division I school. She averaged 1.3 points per game for them. She played like 3 minutes a game. And so you're thinking that, oh, she'd like to maybe come down to Division II and have a chance to play. And no, she had 30 Division I offers. And she actually improved the school that she went to from where she was at. So, you know, you have situations like that. You have situations like Jory dealt with this year from North Dakota State, his second leading scorer. She ends up putting her name in the portal, and she goes from North Dakota State to Alabama. So, you have players that, you know, you're losing players like that. You have AAU coaches that just, you know, tell some of their kids now, hey, get in the portal and I'll help you find a better place to go than where you're at. You have international contacts that just tell the international player, hey, just get a scholarship wherever you can this first year. We're Division II, Division I, whatever school. Once you get it, you don't like it, get in the portal and we'll get you a better place where you really be happy at. It's an interesting dynamic, Steve. It really is.
Have you lost kids off last year's roster?
We have. Emily Weathers from Scott City. She got into the transfer portal. She's going to go to Bethany is where she's going to go. I think Emily's the only one that we've lost that wants to keep playing. And I think, like, in her situation, you have some kids, though, in their situation that it may be for them it's they want just an opportunity to play more, be more of a factor. And, you know, I think in her case she probably used it the right way, honestly, because some of the players we have coming in, she knows the competition against some of those players is going to be harder to play than it was this past year for her. And so I think probably, you know, in her situation, it probably works out good for her.
Yeah, it's not all bad.
No.
I mean, the freedom of movement is good for the kids, and that's ultimately why it was established this way. You used to have coaches that were bitter and said, no, you can't transfer that. I mean, the schools used to hold part of the cards, too, in this thing, and now the schools and the coaches don't hold any of the cards, and it's what's best for the kid. That being said, they're also young kids and might not know what's best for them.
Exactly. You said it right there. It's designed to hopefully be best for them. And as Toby mentioned, there's a lot of handlers out there. There's a lot of people in the back end. That's why all we can do as coaches is build relationships with our student athletes, treat them well, make sure they're passing classes and making degree progress. And at the end of the day, that's an athletic director, coach, or fan should have – the expectation that student athletes are going to be around for 4 and 5 years anymore. It's just, it's going to be, it's going to be more of an anomaly than ever. It is changing, and it's just going to continue to change more and more. And we can either complain about it or we can embrace it and maximize ourselves with it.
Can a girl transfer in the conference? Used to be the conference had the right to.
Yeah, currently you're not supposed to. I mean, be able to at all. There is a waiver process where you can file an appeal to try to file some sort of appeal to be able to play right away. I know there's a case right now where there's a girl from Pittsburgh State that put her name in the portal. She's transferring to Missouri Western, you know, and I know that she's going to have to file some sort of appeal to be able to be eligible to play this next season. I don't know the MIAA's process as far as who's on that appeal committee and who looks at that stuff, but there is that in place.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Let's give Garen a chance.
Yeah, I think in the MIAA too, if they graduate, they can move, of course, yeah, anywhere. But
this
right
girl
now,
graduated. So,
yeah, yeah. Right now, in place is that they have to set a year. I mean, the portal gives you an opportunity to get better, and we embrace it too. I think it's you know, you look at your program and kind of see where you're at, and then you know you utilize it to the best of your ability. You know, we've built our program here on recruiting high school football players and cultivating them, and you know, we've actually lost a deep snapper to the portal, and then we had another kid that we lost to the portal whose mother passed away, and he wanted to get back closer to home, and so you know, there's a way that the portal is advantageous for the player, for the kid, you know, while at the same time, That's all we've lost, and I'm a big believer in what has given us an opportunity to be successful in the MIAA within our football program is, again, getting guys to buy in and staying at a place and developing a relationship with them that is not just about being on the field and being their coach, but being their mentor and helping them be the best man that they can be. And, you know, I look at that whenever I'm hiring coaches too, guys that can – do a really great job of communicating with their players. But the portal does give you an opportunity to be better. I mean, I look at our tailback, Kanan Brooks, you know, we got him out of the portal from South Dakota. And again, that was, we needed a running back. And so we look at the portal every day. You know, I mean, every single day we look at the portal, because I'm also a guy that's been doing this long enough that you're not going to pass up any good players. If you're going to be over budget or whatever, you'll figure it out. It'll all work itself out at some point in time, you know. So we just haven't gotten a lot of players from the portal, but I feel like that we haven't needed to get players from the portal, you know. I've seen guys in our league that have left other schools, and there's no story like the kid that went to Creighton, to the basketball player. I mean, I haven't seen any of that in football happen yet. I think it will, but you know, I think there's been guys that have left, like Central Missouri. They had an offensive lineman. I think he ended up at a MAC school, you know, and he played for them. I don't think he was all conference or anything, but I think it's yeah, I just think you utilize it to your best of your ability, and you kind of look at your situation. It just gives you another alternative to get better.
Like in the case of Northwest Missouri, Craig, you kind of like it when they go somewhere else.
It's going to be – I mean, it's going to be a two-way street, though. I mean, we have some good young talent coming through. They all get an extra COVID year. And, you know, what we even tell guys when we recruit them now is, you know, let's get you to graduation. And then, you know, if you want to transfer, I'll be your agent. I'll help you. We'll promote you. You know, that's a recruiting tactic now, where you're talking to kids and they're thinking, well, you know what, you know, well, I'm going to go to Emporia State because, you know, coach understands modern times. He understands, you know, and he's going to support my freedom of movement. You know, if I get to a degree, and some guys will decide to leave before that. But in general, if you get a degree and you become an alumni of our university and you want to go try to play Division I, because that's been a lifelong dream of yours, and I'm telling you that in recruitment, but another school that we're in our league is not saying that, well, we're going to get an advantage. They're going to consider coming to us even more. So we just got to be modern. We got to understand the time that we're in, the era that we're in. We can't be dinosaurs. We got to expand. And, you know, I think Garen said it perfect on how, you know, you get better. You know, Trey Buchanan got us better this year. The two guys we're bringing in are going to help us replace Trey Buchanan and Jamari Turner immediately. Whereas otherwise it would take years to replace those guys because you'd have to develop them up through the bottom. So, again, it's – it's a whole different world, but as long as we're taking care of our own every single day to the best of our ability and building those relationships and loving on them and still understanding them and their ultimate goals and dreams, and we're doing things the right way, you can sleep at night and you continue to put a good product on the floor or field that everybody feels good about.
The thing that's interesting too, though, it's like you talk to a lot of Division I coaches, and they want to, and their whole thing is like, well, why would you recruit a high school kid? Why would you recruit a high school senior? You know, you recruit a senior, and you know, they've never been away from home, so there's a chance to get homesick. They've never been in a college practice, a college workout. They've never been challenged. They've never had to compete at a level for playing time. They've never had to sit on the bench and everything. So all of a sudden they get there. They've been playing for 4 years, every minute, every second, you know, been the star on the team. Now they're not. Now all of a sudden they're not. Well, if that kid's not happy, what are they going to do? They're going to get in the portal, right? Well, if you recruit somebody from the portal, you know, and they put their name in there, when that kid transfers to your school, they're not going to transfer again, because if they do transfer again, they're going to have to sit this time because it's only a one-time exemption. So it's a, you know, it's a fine line in there.
Yeah, where's a high school player going to get any experience?
Where do they fit? Yeah. Where do they fit in that whole thing?
Well, you know, a good example of that, and I don't know whether you can talk about it or not, but Gracie Gilpin, who's a good player at Emporia High, but as a freshman, her opportunities to go to an Emporia State or another school in the MIAA, if she did, she's either going to redshirt or sit on the bench. And so it made more sense for her to go to a junior college.
100%. Great, so. Great move for her, 100%.
Okay. Well, we got one more topic we're going to get to, which I think is really interesting. And, of course, that's NIL, name, image, and likeness, and we'll do that after the break. This is the on-air chat. You're listening to KVOE. We're live, and we are local.
Income is the outcome that matters most in retirement. I'm Craig Barnwell with CB Financial, and I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. If I doubled your portfolio, that might not change your lifestyle. You'd still be you. However, if I doubled your income, that could make a significant impact on your retirement. So whether you're retired or you want to see how soon that can happen, give us a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. You can reach us at 620-208-6777. That's 620-208-6777. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction is proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk at 8:10 on 14 KVOE.
KVOE live and local, and time now for a look at sports headlines. Being brought to you this hour by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive. Call 620-342-2613 when your car needs help. You don't have to go where anyone tells you, go where you want. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the sports you need, here is Greg Gray.
Thank you, Sean, and good morning. Another blown lead for the Kansas City Royals in an 8-6 loss to the Arizona Diamondbacks last night. After building a 6-3 lead with three runs on the top of the sixth, Arizona answered with five runs on the bottom of the sixth. The Royals will try to bounce back on Thursday when they begin a four-game series in Minnesota against the Twins. The Royals are off today. Six Emporia State track and field athletes are in Allendale, Michigan for the NCAA Division II Outdoor Track and Field Championships. Alyssa Conway will be throwing the hammer on Thursday. The men's 4x400 relay of Guy Ramos, Hayden Goodpasture, Jack Watson, and Jawan Johnson will be running in the prelims on Friday, the finals Saturday, and Holly Bruckmeyer will be throwing the javelin on Saturday. Emporia State's Jace McDowell has been named a finalist for the MIAA's Ken B. Jones Award. That award recognizes the top male and female student-athletes in the MIAA. He was also the Fall 2019-2020 Ken B. Jones Award recipient. Eight other former Emporia State student-athletes have received the Ken B. Jones Award. Winners will be announced on June the 6th. Kansas junior Christian Brown announcing via Twitter that he'll remain in the NBA draft and forego his senior season at KU. And the Kansas State Camp Backers Tour made its stop at Emporia yesterday. Head men's basketball coach Jerome Tang, head women's basketball coach Jeff Mitty, and athletic director Gene Taylor were all the featured guests. That's a look at sports. I'm Greg Ray, KVOE, live and local.
Thank you, Greg. Sports headlines brought to you this hour by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive at 708 Lantern Lane. Information available in the Yellow Book and on the web at ThurstonsPlusAutoBody.com.
I got to hold these guys down in here. I've got a shouting match going on. And, as we talk with Garen Higgins, Craig Doty, Toby Wynn, if you don't know those names, they're two basketball coaches and a football coach at Emporia State. And we've been discussing the NCAA.
It kind of sounded like Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher going back and forth there, didn't it, Steve?
Yeah. And for people listening that are sports fans, that's probably the most positive discussion of the NCAA I've heard in a long time. But Division II needs the NCAA. We agreed on that. I think we had pretty much agreement. The transfer portal is something that, whether you like it or not, you've got to embrace it. And these guys are using it to a very positive. And now we're going to talk about name, image, and likeness, which is outside the NCAA. What, a court made the decision that players can be compensated? And to me, the scary part about name, image, and likeness to me is that there's basically no rules, right? Is that fair? And, I mean, you got the situation at the University of Miami where they recruited Nigel Pack. From Kansas State and publicized that he was going to get paid $800,000 for 2 years plus a car. And then it wasn't very long that one of his new teammates at Miami said to the coach, I get the same deal or I'm in the transfer portal and I'm going somewhere. Toby, have you had that problem yet?
Not yet. Not yet, but it's definitely something like we want to embrace here too. I mean, I think there's opportunity even here in Emporia and our level Division II for name, image, and likeness to be a benefit to our student athletes and to our businesses here in our community as well. I think we have a couple businesses that have kind of reached out with some different ideas that they're looking at to try to be able to use some of our women's basketball players. They haven't fully put together a proposal, but I think there's some ideas that they're formulating to try to create something. So it's kind of exciting to be able to see what might come for them.
Have you been contacted?
Yeah, there? I think you got to think outside the box a little bit with it. And, at our level, of course, everything's not big money as it is, of course, in Division I. But, I think it gives you an opportunity if you have something in place, whether that's some type of collective agreement with the community, to where I know that's how a lot of the big schools have done it, to where, like OU, for example, I read about their, they call it OU One collective that they have with nonprofit organizations. So if a player goes and does something for, say, like Make-A-Wish, that foundation, that One Oklahoma, pays that kid for going and doing an appearance or doing a commercial.
Emporia State wins awards.
There's no question. That's what I'm saying. That's where I think that you can look at this and think outside the box a little bit. Yeah, you're talking about winning community service. Yeah. So we won a national championship in it. Yeah,
but now are they going to have to be paid to do community service? Is that what you're saying? Is that what OU is doing?
To a certain extent, they're compensating the player. All right, that foundation is, but they're still giving service, or they're using their image. For, let's say, like I said, Make-A-Wish, and it's just a little bit more of a structured, to me, environment, to where if you look at what's going on in Division right now, and I said this earlier, it is the wild, wild west, to where, and I don't think that's necessarily what we wanted when we did this, and I'm all for it, believe me, but I also think that it can get a little bit out of hand. I think kids end up basing a lot of their decisions on short-term success, or making that decision not necessarily what's in the best interest for them 10 to 15 years down the road. And I don't know if that's where we wanted college athletics to go. Now that's where it's going. And, just like anything else, you got to change with change. you know. So
don't you think it'll even itself out at some point?
I do.
I mean, LifeWallet's not going to go recruit another Nigel Pack if they see that Nigel Pack means nothing to the bottom line for LifeWallet.
Yeah, I do. I think eventually they're going to have to. There's going to have to be something, you know, put in place where players can still get the opportunity to make money, which I think is great, but there's got to be some type of cap, some type of, you know, to where maybe they get all that, maybe they get more of that money when they do graduate. I don't know. You know, I mean, I just think about our level to where I also think that just the individual and their creativity, their marketability, you know, if they can kind of make their own path, make their own way too, as far as being able to make money. I know we've had guys that have tried to start kind of their own, you know, selling shirts, selling different clothing. You know, to me, that's some creativity involved there. And we've had guys that have.
It's too bad this wasn't around for Mitchell Foote.
Yeah, right. No, you're exactly
those
right.
Those are the kind of people that are really going to benefit.
Right, Brent Wilson. You know, I mean, yeah. He's the face of our football program, and, you know, you put him up on a billboard, and the guy's going to be able to get some type of money, you know, to help him out. I just don't think that money's ever going to get to that point. I mean, like, big-time money, but I do think that it's something that it will eventually get down to our level, you know.
Let's get another opinion here. Doty's
different
over
sport.
Here.
Well, I tried to take. Hey, no, well, I'm going to be do what now?
I'm with you. I mean, most of the national NIL deals that you hear about, and the OU collective, you hear that for football. The Tennessee's got a huge collective.
Alabama.
All the fighting between Saban and Jimbo Fisher all revolve around football. What's the? I mean, really, the University of Miami is really the only stuff I've heard in basketball.
It's all over in basketball as well. So I just talked. This is Division I friends of mine. They are setting up. They're trying to set up. Well, they actually tried to have K-State go to play at Miller Park where the Brewers play. And then they were going to return a game. Wisconsin was going to return a game to Kauffman. And they were going to play in baseball stadiums. And every player that was a member of the team would get NIL deals, NIL cash on for playing in it because they would promote the event. What are they doing? They're putting a tweet out and they're getting $5,000, whatever the amount of money is for it. So there's been a lot of organization taking place with outside orgs, you know, and they're getting their 5% of the whole deal, you know, and which is on big money is good for them, and they're setting this all up so student athletes get channeled money going directly to them just for being on the team, just for being a member of the team. The money's coming in. They don't really have to do anything other than be there. Well, what that's causing now is these teams are setting it up so when during the recruiting process you can say, well, you come here, you're going to make this amount of money. And that wasn't the ultimate.
Can you say that? You can say that they can make this amount of money. I didn't think you could say that.
You can't officially say it, but you can show it.
Well, you can say whatever.
Yeah, I didn't think they could do. I mean, honestly, I didn't think that you could.
It's not, you know, supposed to be used for recruiting.
The but
you can just
department.
Show. You can just show it.
Yeah, you're.
Yeah, you can say you have an opportunity, but I didn't think you could say if you come here, you're going to get $80,000, and I'm the football coach, and I say that.
If it's on contract for Wisconsin to play at Miller Park against another team, and the contract states that every player on the team gets $10,000 for marketing it. Whether the coach wants to tell him or not, somebody's going to tell the kid they're in the recruiting process.
Right. There's no question.
It doesn't matter where it comes from.
Yes.
It is a part of the recruiting.
A kid will know.
The kid's going to know everywhere he goes how much front-loaded money there's going to be. And the challenge in all of this is from what I'm being told by my people is that this all came to play because federal legislation came in. This wasn't a decision by Mark Emmert and NCAA. Federal legislation came in and said, well, you cannot hold student athletes back from making money. And now they're looking at ways to stop this. But there's a huge legal issue taking place, and really it's out of the hands of the NCAA. I mean, they obviously have lobbyists in Washington, but it's going to be interesting to see where this all goes, where the legality stands, and what you can prosecute, what you can enforce, what you can't. You see, there's something called contracts in professional sports. But even LeBron James is free to go get as much endorsement money as he wants to outside of the contract. So I don't know where it's going to be. I don't think anybody knows where it's going yet. I don't think the NCAA or senators and politicians know where it's going to go. But at the Division II level, it barely impacts us. Right. We're just kind of watching the show. But if there is a business in town that wanted billboards of star players in their restaurant and having a signing day when they come in and invite a bunch of kids, I mean, who better than to bring in the star quarterback or the star players in basketball or the star volleyball? You know, who better? There's tons of opportunities for actual business growth here, you know, because I think that the design of the whole thing, and Gene Taylor said it yesterday. I went to the Kansas State Backers event, and it was really cool. I went there with as a guest of Jill and John Newland to meet Coach Tang and spend a little time with them, and it was awesome. But Gene Taylor said, he goes, NIL was designed for when you get on campus that you build a brand that people like and enjoy, and that student athlete can then profit off that. It was not the design of it was not supposed to be used as a recruiting tactic to take Nigel Pack and get him nearly $1 million to go to Miami, and that's why he made the decision. So, but where is this all going to land? We're you know, I got my popcorn ready, and I'm going to be eating it and watching because I have no idea, and nobody in this room, I don't think, has.
And the kid saying, "Hey, if he's getting this deal, the other player from Miami, Florida,
they're all
says,
pissed.
Hey, listen,
I'm
if
better
he's
than
this
he is.
Deal, why can't I'm going to leave unless I get the same type of deal or better?
Yeah,
and again,
they both got paid though. So the money. Oh, I said they both got paid though. So the money's out there.
It's definitely out
there. Were you guys when you first heard about it or first got to know it? Were you worried about it just being the rich getting richer? I mean, in D1 football, it seems like it's actually spreading out the talent.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think
that's a
good
point, Aaron.
I mean,
before NIL, does the number one college football quarterback recruit go to an HBCU?
No.
No chance, right?
No chance.
You had the kid from Texas, the quarterback from Texas, that, you know, he was going to be a senior in high school, and he tried to get the UIL in Texas to try to allow him to be able to make money, and the high school association said no. So then he graduates early, and Ohio State throws out $1 million to him, NIL. So he goes to Ohio State. He's there. They got C.J. Stroud, who's a freshman. He's all Big Ten. And he knows he's not going to play in front of that guy. So he puts his name in the transfer portal. He ends up going back. Now he's at University of Texas. Gets $2 million from him. He's got $3 million. Never came to college snap.
Yeah, thanks for the million,
he's getting
Ohio
paid
State.
More than the coaches.
$3 million.
I don't know about that. I'm pretty sure Texas's coach makes more than that.
I mean, they're not all making that, but he's getting paid just as much or more. You know.
But he was trying to leverage the high school association first to try to let it happen. And they stood their ground and didn't let it happen in Texas. But, I mean,
I hate to put a stop to this, but we actually have a few more minutes. But I think the discussion's been good. Probably not the last time we need to do this. I think Garen said it all, though, with name, image, and likeness. It's the wild, wild west. I mean, we have two coaches sitting here, and they can't decide whether or not you can use name, image, and likeness as a recruiting tool.
Well,
who's going to? Somebody said, "Well, you're not supposed to be able to do that." Says who? I'll give you each. Tell me who regulates name, image, and likeness.
I don't know.
That's a good point.
There's no enforcement
ability to do it.
Exactly.
You can't have rules that you can't enforce. So.
And what you're having is these coaches aren't necessarily doing it, but they have, like Coach Doty said, handlers that will make contact with the kid and. You know, it's kind of how it starts.
There'll be a report on it next fall. There'll be a report on it. If you go to Alabama, you're guaranteed to make X.
Right.
If you go to Texas A&M, you're guaranteed to make X.
Right.
If you go to Tennessee,
well, and then there's going to be two tiers. You're going to get the guarantee money coming in. Then you're also going to have the ability to do what I believe it was intended to do, and that's make more based off of
once
your
you
ability.
Get there.
Once
yeah.
you get there, but there's going to be a set amount that the student athlete, okay, you can't say you get this if you come here. You can say, well, this student athlete in our program is making this on NIL as reported, you know. So
and they'll know
it's
anyway.
It's because they're a good kid. They're really outgoing, and they average 23 points a game. It's not just because they're coming to the school.
But we're talking about something that's really out of our world right now. I mean, we can talk about it. We all have Division I friends, and we follow it. But, you know, they're frustrated, too. I mean, your schools like Wisconsin and K-State, those are schools that don't have the type of resourcing. And they're not going to be at the forefront of this, whereas there's other schools out there that says, you know what? We're going to bypass X, Y, and Z, and we have to be at the face of this, at the top of it, so we can get a top-tier recruiting class in to compete for championships immediately, whereas there's other schools that are going to take more of a conservative approach to it, and we're going to see how this all works out.
Okay, we're going to end this. Thanks to Toby Wynn, Garen Higgins, Craig Doty. It's been a spirited discussion. And the last thing I'm going to say is it's the Wild Wild West, name, image, and likeness. And if you think Congress is going to set the rules, think again. They can't decide anything. With that said, let's go home, Aaron.
Thanks for listening to the On Air Chat. We've been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction 342-5001. And CB Financial, retire happy, retire with CB Financial. See Craig Barnwell, 517 East 6th Avenue. Talk of Emporia is next here on KVOE AM 1400, 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
96.9 FM, AM 1400, KVOE, Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, now stands as the second deadliest in the nation's history after Sandy Hook. ABC's Jim Ryan is near the scene and has more on the victims.
The tragic count.